Ele.
Greetings and welcome to episode 129 of the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast. The most democratic emotion on the planet, which everyone goes through at one point or another, is the feeling of loss experienced when a loved one, be it the cigar-smoking uncle who tells inappropriate jokes at the dinner table, or, for most of us, our own pets, are no longer with us. We want to know that they are okay, but that entails devising a channel of communication that you won't learn how to build in any classroom in Kansas. Lindy Baker, our clairvoyant of choice, comes on and shares what she knows about a topic we must all experience. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this one.
You're listening.
Yeah, like all the time I'm listening.
To the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back in one moment.
Ooh, like this really got me in orbit.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 129 of the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jeff Chavez, along with the Southwest Sage herself, Lindy Baker. Lindy's here to discuss what happens to our loved ones as they pass on, but with a special emphasis on our very own four-legged companions that faithfully loved us just for being who we are. Always great to talk to you and catch up. What's going on?
So I've been doing some fun things. I've been performing at Jokesters, which is at the D Casino downtown by the Fremont Experience. So that 10:30 at night show. So that was fun.
Now you're doing this as a comedian, because I forgot to tell the people that you are also a comedian. We've been doing episodes with you now for about 3 years, and it was always as a psychic medium and life coach, but now you are a comedian.
Right. Congrats. Then, and I do the comics about being a psychic, about being clairvoyant, about being psychic. I kind of poke fun at myself. In fact, I tell the audience, you can just call me the extra large medium. So we have a lot of fun with that. I'm going to have a lot more fun as time goes on with it too, because I'm finally over stage fright. Probably took me like 4 years to get over stage fright, but I had a real good time performing. Really a lot of fun playing with the different audiences, talking back to you and doing a bunch of fun stuff. So anyway, and so it's good to be on a show with you again. And I think this is a subject that everybody, that there's a lot of people that tune into, because so many people have pets these days. And it's just really hard when we lose a pet after we've had them, even if you've had them for a short time. But if you've had them for a really long time, like a lot of people do, that's like losing a major member of your family. So I think this is a subject that's going to be of interest to a lot of people.
No doubt about it, because you have a pet, let's say it's a dog, and you've had your dog for about 14, 15 years, and you have somebody who, aside from crapping on the floor once in a while, gives you unconditional love, pays attention to you better than your wife and kids, usually.
Yeah.
And goes out on walks with you, just loves nothing more than attention from you. Where else can you get that? And one day you're without that. My pet Beagle, Stevie, passed on about a month and a half ago. And that was a horrible day. That was just, I couldn't get any sleep for 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and do you still put down dog food for him and almost, or like I'll get a bone and I'll think, oh, I'll take this bone home for the dog, and the dog's not there anymore.
Little things. For instance, I'll be shutting the door. I'll be going into the garage and I'm like, oh shit, I got to shut this door. Or if you drop potato chips on the floor, you're thinking, oh, that's okay. Stevie's going to go get them. You know, that, no problem about it. You know, a piece of Lebanon bologna. Oh, no, she's got it. It's hard to say how to describe it unless you've had a dog or cat of your own. Now, we got cats now. Two cats.
Mm.
Yep.
Oh, you went and got some yesterday, the other day, huh?
What's
Are
that?
They any particular breed?
They are called Russian. What are they called? Russian manes or something like that. A grayish tint to them. Extremely intelligent. Very affectionate. They kind of act like dogs.
So you have your own Russian collusion going on right now, huh?
They're definitely going to take me down someday.
My joke about my dog is that he farts, hogs the bed, so I feel like I'm married. And he's old too. He's 14 now. So, In fact, I'm in the process of, you know, figuring out what's a good time to let him go too. I don't want to see my pet in pain.
Yeah.
And so I probably will make the decision for euthanasia, but it's a very, very hard decision. I do talk to a lot of clients who will call. They know that I'm a medium. Mm-hmm. And so they call and they ask, how's my pet? You know, can you talk to my pet? Can you see my pet? And the thing that I would say is, yes, pets do come through. In fact, not too long ago, I had a fellow, he passed on. He was like 95 years old. Mm-hmm. And so his daughter had called, and his message to her was that I've got all 7 of our dogs here with me. And she had had 4 dogs that over time had passed on, and evidently he had had the 3. And so he was telling her, I have all 7 of those animals with me. And I wouldn't have known that. I knew that she had had the 4 that passed. They were a special breed of dad dog, but I didn't know about the other 3. And so obviously I can only go by my own experiences as a medium of what I see. And so if that comes through with animals like that, then I have to believe it. I can't be skeptical because it's happening to me. You know, I'm seeing these things myself. And I do know that for a time I had a German Shepherd that passed on years ago. And that German Shepherd would show up from time to time. It would, you know, maybe come through my dreams and lick my face or something like that. And one of the things that I like to teach is that if we're in a dream state, if you have a dream and you dream that, you know, it's like grandma, grandpa, whoever it is, dog, kitty, whatever, is coming through, and that you're having that dream about that's how spirits like to come through. Because with a lot of people, our conscious minds are resistant to being able to embrace it. So they like to come through when you're in your unconscious state, because you're not fighting it. You're not,
right.
You know, your mind isn't pushing it away, or your emotional upset isn't pushing it away. A lot of times when people realize that they're in the middle of a dream with somebody, they'll actually wake up, you know, because they'll feel the emotion, you know, missing them or whatever.
You are a psychic medium, among other things, and you are able to communicate with human beings who've passed on to the other side. Have you ever done a reading for somebody's pet before?
Or
really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Dogs and cats don't exactly speak the King's English. So how can you pass along
the
message?
But they do, and you know, and a lot of people that have pets will tell you this. So, you know, probably the listeners have had this experience, but they've had conversations with their animals. I talk to my dog. Some people, you know, look at me like I'm nuts, but we have regular conversations, and I can say to him, oh, you need to go out, and he lets you know that he needs to go out, right?
Right.
And you can have conversations with them. That's I know of other pet psychics, and that's what they do too. And so I've had animals already that they've said, well, what's wrong with my dog? And it's like the dog comes through and says, well, I've got liver problems,
mm-hmm.
or I've got I'm depressed because I have to stay in all the time. So, yeah, they actually do have information and it'll come through.
How is it? Is it brainwaves or something like that?
Yeah, the best I could say is that it would be like that, that it telepaths it. Again, like I said, didn't you have conversations with Stevie, right? And Stevie understood what you said, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you drop something and you go, hey, Stevie, here's a potato chip. And he'd hear that, right? He'd hear that and he'd come and he'd look for it. So a lot of people have conversations with their animals, with their birds, you know, but I don't know about snakes because I don't like them, but but I've had, you know, conversations with people like, you know, what's up with my gerbil or where's my gerbil or, you know, where's my cat, those different kinds of things. So yes, I know that there's some people online that specialize in that. I can't speak for anybody else, but what I can say is I'm a true legitimate clairvoyant. I was born this way, but there are a lot of people, millions of so-called psychics out there that are just out to get your money, you know, or maybe going to play with your emotions or something, but I'm not one of those. So
gives us the age old question about animals. You can communicate with animals that have gone to the other side. I have heard from several people who, from a theological standpoint, are saying animals were brought onto this earth to provide friendship to human beings, but they don't have souls and you're not going to see them in heaven. And I think that's about the cruelest message in the world you could say to somebody, but they're going from a strictly theological standpoint. They're not trying to be mean. Maybe they are, but they're not trying to be. Let's give them that much. So animals have souls like humans?
But yeah, well, not exactly the same as, but I want to go back to whatever that was that was said there where they were saying that animals were there to be our friends. Is that what they said?
Yeah, they're there to provide comfort.
But that's not true. That's really not a true statement. Because let's go back in the past, right? Even if we go back to, let's say, what was this in 1900s? Let's go there. Mm-hmm. Your animals really weren't your pals then. They were out in the yard. They were in a doghouse in the yard. The cats were in a barn. The cats had the job of ridding the storage bins of, you know, the grains and all of that from mice and rats that were getting into that. So they weren't really, you know, they weren't really friends. That over time, our animals have evolved the same as I believe that, you know, humans evolved. And so, see, like the wild dogs were running, right?
Yeah, wolves.
All the dogs were wild. Majority of dogs were wild. There may have been, you know, at some point in time that started transitioning, and I don't know what the dates were, you know, 1600s or 1700s, something like that, that they would take the wild dogs and maybe they would try to domesticate some of them, but they were used mainly for, it's like, you know, for guarding the castles and,
right,
you know, that kind of stuff. It's only in these more recent years, and even more so in this day and age, now all of the pets have moved from the yard into the house. And a lot of the pets have taken over the house. <You know? laughs> And now we have, you know, the emotional support animals. And you see those people out there that they're running around with their, sometimes the big dogs, but mainly the little dogs. And they got the little dogs in their, you know, in their purse or something. He met with them too. One of my brothers runs around with his little dog. And these pets are going in our restaurants, hospitals, waiting rooms, everything now. So if you really look at it, it's like the pets are taking over. That they don't have they have a completely different status to us now than what they ever had before. And so Spirit has also talked about that and said, because as we have had humans evolving, and we're constantly evolving and our soul is constantly evolving, so too with the animal life. And they do differentiate that you have plant life, which plants don't really have like a soul. They have, you know, kind of like maybe an etherical body, I guess I would refer to it. But then the next step up had to do with your animals. And there was a joke that I saw too, and I always, you know, come back to my comedy and my sense of humor. But one of the jokes had to do with if the animals do have souls, that when you die and you go to heaven, you're going to have a lot of explaining to do when you meet all the chickens, pigs, and cows.
Yeah, I mean, well,
right?
Exactly. You know, even in biblical times, Jesus fed his followers with what? Fish. Mm-hmm. So we have to make a distinction.
Right.
What animals are meant to be our friends, which animals are meant to be stay wild and not be our friends. And it's the reason we're having this episode is because a lot of people know that, well, the best dog or best cat's going to last 17, 18 years if they're lucky. They want to have that dog or cat back or whatever it was. Maybe it's a squirrel. Who knows? That they're going to have them in heaven with them.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen that. Like I said, I saw where this one guy just even recently, his daughter had Shih Tzus. And she had four Shih Tzus who died over time. And he had the four Shih Tzus with him. Mm. And then the other two dogs, one of them was, you know, like a red dog. I saw, and the other was black and white spot. It looked like it was a beagle or something. And she said, yeah, he had a beagle when he was growing up. So I do believe that if they weren't the level of soul before, my belief is that over the same period of time, let's say from like the 1900s, that also their souls have evolved too, that they seem to understand a whole lot more. People are even now, you know, there's pet pigs, pet cows, pet horses, really, you know, and people really do communicate with their animals on some kind of a level. I did some other outside studying on that, like I usually do too. And, you know, even as far back as somebody like Aristotle, there was Aristotle and St. Thomas Aquinas, this question about if animals have a soul was going on even way back when. That there was the theological discussion about that. And Aristotle had the notion that the soul was divided like into three different levels. And so you had like the vegetative and then what they called the sensitive, which would have been, you know, the animals. Mm-hmm. And then the intellectual, rational mind, which would be the us, human beings.
All right, then. Well, I'm getting a 68 Charger. But to clarify, the pets, they can come along, right?
Yes, and I'm going to go into this whole great big explanation, too, just even when I see people. What? There is no heaven, there is no hell. If I base it on, let's say, 50 years of being a clairvoyant and seeing and speaking all of my life to spirits, that when we pass on, you no longer have a body.
Right.
Right. So there is this energy that lives on, and it is rational. It does reason. It does think. Mm-hmm. And it can do so many different things that they don't really go bump in the night. That's in the movies. And that they can move, they do move energies and objects and that kind of stuff, but it's very difficult for them to do. And this is what they tell me, that you have to have specific kind of conditions in order for that to be able to happen. And so it happens very rarely because the atmospheric conditions, I guess, could call that. But when these people are on the other side, one of the things that happens is it's almost as if you are a form of mind and mind alone.
Oh.
I have some of them that come in exceedingly strong, very strong. They weren't even necessarily strong personalities on Earth, so I can't tell you why are some of them able to come through better than others. I can't answer that. But there is a big difference in them being able to come through. And I have some of them. I have one that's a 12-year-old boy that hung himself and died.
Ooh.
He committed suicide, and he comes through all the time for his mother. And there's just so many different confirmations of the information that I'm getting that he tells me sometimes is even happening as we speak. So, and he'll come through with things that she's done and things that are coming up, that kind of stuff. And he will wear, he'll have different, I'll call them like props. You know, like one day he showed up and he had one of those great big huge suckers. I haven't seen one of those in a really long time. You know the kind I mean? They're flat. They have all different kinds of colors. You get them a fair, great big, like 8 inches in circumference or something. And he had one of those. And he was talking all about it. And I said, yeah, he's got this great big, you know, flat sucker, described it and everything like that. And it turned out that was very important symbol. And she said her other son had just bought one and he had it in the door of the car. And that they had had a conversation about this sucker in the car. So they, it's kind of like they could go get different props. One of them that comes all of the time, he may show up and he's got hunting boots on and hunting clothes. You know, and if I say, well, like, what's up? And he says, well, I just always wanted to go to Alaska when I was alive. So I just got back from Alaska. It's beautiful that, you know, I was tromping through here and there. And he may show up and then he's got sandals on, you know, and he's a real character, too, when he comes through. Some of the stuff he says, and he actually came to me the other day and said to get in touch with his daughter. She was in trauma. And so I contacted her, and she was. She was kind of stuck in a homeless situation because of a marital and family issue. And so he wanted to reach out and let her know that he was, you know, watching over, he was aware, and he was concerned about her. So my idea in... yeah, you're probably going to have to cut this and start again. But one of the things that happened, too, is one day I had a group of people and there was a lady had come through and she was talking. And she said, could you hold on a minute? I need to get some tea. And I said, what? You have tea? You know, in heaven, we have tea. She says, well, yeah, you know, I like this particular kind, butterscotch tea or something like that, which her daughter verified she loves this butterscotch tea. And I said, well, where do you get tea from? And she says, oh my gosh, I never thought about that before. But she says, all I have to do, I don't know. She said, I just think about it and it shows up. So like if they want their dog, when you pass over, if you want your dog shows up. If you want your cat showed up. If you loved animals, animals show up.
In my paradigm of heaven, heaven is a place where you're a bunch of people are there, you're singing, it seems very, very communal. However, these people, they're living, this guy, this one deceased person went to Alaska, said it's beautiful. So, in other words, they're not going up to some point up in the sky that we can't see. They're more or less here. It's just that they're on a different realm. They're in a different parallel existence.
In a way, or almost like a virtual existence. I think it's easier to identify now that we have all these different computer games. It's like a virtual existence. Like this fellow that came through on Sunday, the one that was telling all about the jackpot that the other guy won. And so then at some point, he goes, tell her what I'm doing. And I said, okay. I said, he's driving along. I don't know what kind of car. I said, this looks like it's a blue Mustang, but it's like a really old one. Mm-hmm. And she went, oh my God. When we first got married, when I first met him, we went on a date. He had this blue Mustang.
Oh,
that
wow.
He drove. There's one story that's popping in my mind, too, that I really want to tell because I think it's a great story. I had a friend of mine, her father passed. He was a total beach guy. And they were going to all take him out to someplace in the desert like Joshua Tree. And they were going to throw his ashes out there. Right. So they called me on the way. And they said, you know, we wanted to get in touch with Dad, see if he's got anything to say. And he had come through a couple of times prior to that. And so I said, yeah, he said that he's out riding his motorcycle. And I said, he's got this leather jacket on and boots and he's got this motorcycle hat. And they said, oh, no, that's totally wrong, that he really didn't like motorcyclists. In fact, he couldn't stand them because, you know, those Harley you know, the Harley gangs and all that. I said, look, all I can do is tell you what he is showing and telling me. And this is what I'm telling you. He says he's out on his motorcycle today. And that's what he's doing. So I, you know, all I could tell you is this is what he's telling me. This is what I pass on. So they called me back in about a half hour, and they were all kind of like all in a panic and everything. And they had me on speakerphone because they went to one of these where, what do you call it, by the freeway, you can stop and it's like a viewpoint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they went there and they did like a little prayer and they go to throw the ashes out, and it's only them that's there. There's nothing else but desert. And there's like 10 of 11 of them that are there. And as they're doing this little prayer and they're throwing the ashes out and saying, you know, God, Dad, you know, have your freedom and all that, a motorcycle group pulls up like out of nowhere. There's like 20, 25 guys on motorcycles out for a ride.
Uh-huh.
And they've got the leather jackets and the hats on. So, and he said he was out riding his motorcycle that day. So to me, that's just way too coincidental that, you know, he's describing a motorcycle gang and you're in the middle of the desert. He says he's riding with one and you're in the middle of the desert throwing his ashes out and a group of them shows up, right? Do you, don't you think that's a little.
So they're able to
coinkadinkle?
Yeah. So they're able to see what we're doing and they're giving us messages as further proof that.
Right.
Dude, I see what's going on. I know what you're doing.
You kind of, sort of. They don't. They really come in kind of more conversational. The thing that I would say that they do, though, and I feel that as a majority, they strive very hard to do this, is to give you something that is very specific information. Very specific information. So that you aren't sitting there thinking like I made it up or something, or it's not like just general kind of information. And to me, they really strive hard for that accuracy. And maybe it isn't even that they're striving for accuracy, but what they're doing is they really want to have a conversation with that person. You know, I'm here. I'm fine. I don't hurt anymore. I don't have a body, you know, how I couldn't walk anymore. Well, I can walk now. You know how they cut those toes off and stuff. Well, it's a funny thing because they grew back. I'm not in a wheelchair anymore. And I've also ascertained from my experience with this too, that it's like you go back to your highest point in existence in this lifetime. So in other words, when your vibration or your frequency, whatever we want to call that, was at its highest. And so you might have been a 95-year-old guy that died and you were all rickety, but show up as a spirit as if you were, you know, back at 50 years old and still running marathons, you know, and drinking your beer and hooping and hollering or whatever. That that's what I've concluded is we can go back to a higher vibration rather than come and be, you know, like the granny in her wheelchair with her blanket on her and her cane. They might, you know, that, and those ones actually come and say, if you describe me, I don't look like I looked. If you go through your pictures and you look for the picture of me in a yellow sweater, that's what I look like now.